If you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians 15, we'll finish this chapter out. We've been preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. This morning I titled the lesson, The Resurrection, Yearning for Immortality. You'll see how it fits very well with the section in verses 50 through 58. And, you know, when you start thinking of our day and time, do you know people yearn for immortality? Even the lost. People don't want to die. And you'll talk to them, and it's not something they're looking forward to. And they like their life on earth. They like the niche that they've carved out for themselves and the things that they possess. They love their family very dearly. And so as a result of all of that combined together, they have a yearning to live on. And yet, we hear people that get sick with some disease, and scientists have told us that, well, maybe we can freeze somebody. And then when they find a cure for the disease, they will unfreeze the individual and the opportunity to cure them from that disease. People yearn for immortality. The wealthy. Many times do we hear the wealthy speak about their life, and yet they want to live on with the masses of wealth that they have niched for themselves. People yearn for immortality. People want things to continue just the way that it is, and yet it's going to change. But I want you to know this morning, for you and I in Christ Jesus, we have the hope, the assurance of immortality. Paul begins here in chapter 15, beginning in verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Now, I want you to remember this last section we're going through. This section's not separated from what he's been talking about. There are some teaching at the church at Corinth that there's not going to be a resurrection. And Paul has already shown the ignorance of such a teaching and such a belief. We have to remember that Paul has had to assume their position, that what kind of body are they going to come with and how's it going to happen? And he has to explain how all of this is coming about. And now as he's gotten to this last part, he's discussing particularly the body. We're going to see about the body. And when we look at that, he says, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Our bodies, as we see it today, are not going to make it into God's eternal kingdom. In fact, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. It's incapable. Our present body, as we have right here, right now, it is not capable of existing in God's eternity. There's just no way that it can do that. It's not designed for that. And so, you know, if you look at our bodies continue to move and change with age to weaker things. Our body's not improving. We've talked about that a little bit. So as we age, it moves to the weaker. Each day, the state of our body is not getting better. Why? Because it's perishable. And the perishable cannot inherit what? The imperishable. There's just no way to do it. Where have we set our hope? What's our hope in all of this? Our hope, the day we were united with Jesus in baptism, was eternity. to being with Him in eternity. And we need to yearn for that kind of immortality, for eternity with God, knowing that this perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. Now hold this for just a second. Come over to Colossians 1, and let's look at our present state to kind of expand this. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll come right back. When you look in the kingdom of God, the imperishable is what reigns. And that's what God has designed for us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, look at the premise He lays down for us. He said, "For He rescued us from the dark domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." What has happened to us? The day you entered Jesus, what happened? He said that we've been transferred. There was a transference that took place from this domain of darkness into another kingdom. And it's the kingdom of His beloved Son. There is this spiritual world that you and I cannot see with flesh and blood. It's impossible to see it because flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God that we've been transferred into, because it's a spiritual kingdom. Flesh and blood is a perishable item, and it's built for this world that we see presently. But you and I have been transferred. We've been transferred and taken out of this domain of darkness, and we've been transferred to this spiritual kingdom of Jesus. And here's the value, verse 14. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The ransom price paid by Jesus has forgiven us. That's the kingdom that we presently exist in, but we can't see it. And why can we not see it? Now come back to 1 Corinthians. Look at 15:50 again. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's why we can't see it. The reality, it's already happened to us. The reality is we're already over in this other kingdom if you're in Christ Jesus. If you've been baptized into Jesus for forgiveness of sins, that's the kingdom you've been transferred to. That's why there's redemption there. There's the forgiveness. But he says, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. You know what? The one thing that we have left, and the one thing that Paul's been stating to the Corinthians all the way through, is that we need a body that is suited for the kingdom of God eternally. And that's where Paul begins to explain this new body that's coming in the new kingdom, because the body you have now is not the body that's coming. In fact, back in verse 44, he told them there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. That's what the Lord is going after. You and I are going to be immortal. We're going to have a body just for that. Verse 51, he says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." We're fixing to find out, what is this mystery? All I know is flesh and blood can't inherit what God wants us to inherit. All I know is that this perishable body, and I don't understand how it works, but Paul said, then let me tell you the mystery. I'm going to teach it to you. We're talking about the body. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. And you remember that term sleep talks about people who have died. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. We're not all going to die. Now, what does that mean? He's going to tell us in just a moment. But there is one fact that you need to understand, I need to see. We will be changed. What you see It's not what is to be. And we need to know that. Well, what are you talking about, Paul? Look at verse 51 again. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Oh, what are we talking about? The last trumpet. We know what that means. But Paul said, here's the mystery. We're going to all be changed at this last trumpet. And you know what? The change, how it's going to come about? It's coming about quickly. It's coming about in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. As quick as you can blink your eye, there's coming a change. When is it coming? At the last trumpet. There's coming one last trumpet that no one on earth is going to miss. And that's when we're going to be changed. Not all are going to die. It's going to happen quickly. Now, you know what? It's rather noted, again, we're mortal. We're perishable. So God's going to make this changeover when He acts one more time at a last trumpet. There's going to be a change to immortality. Continue on. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. The trumpet will sound, and then what? The dead will be raised imperishable. The dead who? We're talking about the dead in Jesus, but we're talking about what part of the dead? The body. The resurrection day is for the perishable that has been put into the dust of the ground and is returned to be put on imperishable. And so at the last trumpet, this is the mystery that God's going to change everything. And the dead in Christ, those dead will be raised imperishable. And what about those that are left? Not all going to die. We will be changed also. Ah, boy, incredible how all of this works. But why is it that way? Verse 53. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. In the kingdom of God that you and I have already been spiritually transferred into, we must now put on immortality. That's the last venture. At the last trumpet, in the twinkling of an eye, in just a moment, you and I will be changed, because this perishable must put on the imperishable. That is a must. This perishable, this mortal, must put on immortality. That's what God's got it designed. Now keep this mark for just a minute. Come over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And if you remember when you're turning over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul had told the Corinthians here earlier in chapter 15, he had already told them, That what is to be is not what is. And he's trying to get to see there's something coming. We don't know what that is, but he said, I'm going to explain it to you. We're talking about the resurrection of the last trumpet. The resurrection of a new body. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul writes the Thessalonian brethren some of the same thing. Look at verse 13. He says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. Guess who he's addressing again? We're talking about those who have died. We're talking to saints. We're not talking about everybody. We're talking about those who died in Jesus. So that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Even so, God will bring with them those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Now, you need to listen to that one carefully. When Jesus returns, who's coming with him? Those who have already died. Sometimes we get so messed up on the second coming and what's going to take place. They're coming with Jesus. You know what that tells us? They're with Jesus now. I don't want you to grieve about those who've already died. Because when He comes, if we believe that He died and rose again, then God will bring with Him those who have died with Him. See, that's what He's talking about. Now, we're talking about the resurrection of the body. Look at verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Don't worry about those who have died. We, if we're alive at the coming of Jesus, we're not going to be changed first. No, the first change is going to be with them. We're not going to be first. They're going to be first. Wow. What does that mean? 16. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. What part of the dead? Now you remember He's already explained back in verse 14 who's coming back with Him? The dead that are there. Then guess who's going to rise? Well, the dead. Well, if the dead are already with Him, then why are the dead raised? He's talking about the body. This is the mystery. This is the word of the Lord, Paul says, that he got. And he's trying to get us to understand that at the coming of the Lord, the dead are going to be raised first. Side note, this will be free. You go through and you study it. In Revelation chapter 4, you know, John gets to see some spiritual things that other men, women didn't get to see. In Revelation chapter 4 at the beginning, John got to see a door opened into heaven. And he got to see the one sitting on the throne. And then in chapter 5, there was a change. And he got to see Jesus as Lord sitting on the throne. And Jesus ends up and he takes a book out of the hand of God. Now, John has been told, you write down everything that you see. And so he's writing this down. And Jesus takes this little book from the hand of God, and Jesus is worthy to open it. And he's going to be opening what's going to happen. And so he begins one seal after another after another. When he gets to the sixth seal in Revelation chapter 6, Jesus breaks it open, and then it said, and then what did John see? He said, I saw the souls of those who have died. And Jesus under the altar in heaven. Point. They're already with. You know what they don't have? He didn't say see the bodies. He saw the souls. You see, the resurrection day is about giving immortality. Giving an imperishable body to those who have already died. That's what we're waiting on. That's what they're waiting on. Because you see, as I live on this earth, guess what I've got here? I've got a physical body that you see that is growing weaker, but this body houses my present soul and spirit. But once my body returns to the perishable dust, my soul and spirit are going to need a new house that's made for the eternal kingdom of God. And so as he begins to explain this, we who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord are not going to precede those who have fallen asleep. No, He says, look at verse 16 again. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. What's it worth being one with Jesus? Immortality. To being with Jesus. The dead in Christ will rise first. And by the way, when that trumpet sounds and there's a shout, he's calling people. He's calling his people. No one's going to miss it. Everybody's going to hear it. It's going to happen. Verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Flesh and blood can't get there. There's no way. There must be the imperishable. And then therefore, those who are alive, they're going to be caught up into the air too. And so Paul ends up saying, therefore comfort one another with these words. Knowing that, come back to 1 Corinthians 15 and look at verse 52, 53 again. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed, those who remain. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. It's going to happen. Expect it to happen. Know it's going to happen. You and I were transferred in the kingdom of God when we were baptized into Christ. We have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins. Then we need to expect something else to happen. And what's that? I'm there. The only thing that's keeping me from seeing the whole thing is my perishable body. And so God said, your perishable body cannot inherit what's imperishable. So we got to change it. And this is when the change is going to come about. When that trumpet sounds and the dead are raised, they're given an immortal body. And then we too will all be changed in the same likeness, every one of us. Verse 54. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is our enemy. Death has always been an enemy of man. Death began its reign over man from the very beginning of time. Man sinned, you die. Adam and Eve are the proof of it. They died spiritually one day. And as a result, their mortal bodies were corrupted too. And so when this day comes, when the perishable is going to put on the imperishable, there's going to come about this statement. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death is the last enemy on earth to be defeated. And Paul said that earlier in chapter 15. If you look real quick at verse 26, he says, the last enemy that will be abolished is death. When there is a resurrection of our new bodies, when there is a change in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet of the new bodies, guess what happens? Death is the last thing that's going to be dealt with. And death will not be a victor over God's people anymore, any place, nor their bodies. Verse 55. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? This is a taunt from Jesus to death. Oh, you thought you were victorious back there, death. He's kind of personified it as you look at this thing. You know, hey, guess what, death? There is no sting anymore. There's no victory in you anymore. Death doesn't have its way. Death is a poison. Death hurts. And it's a pain to everyone who's not tied to Jesus. But to those who are tied to Jesus, death is the last thing Jesus is going to put under his feet. And Jesus is going to taunt death by the words, "Where's your victory, death? Where's your sting? Because you see, in me, I overcame not only the sin of the world, but I overcame death on your behalf." Verse 56. The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. Sin is what stings people. You know, I said a while ago back there at the beginning, when man sinned in the garden, God told him, "You sin, you die." It stung them bad. But you know what? Death's sting is sin. You sin, you'll die. And that's a horrible fate. But that's the way it is. You know, Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." But guess what? The power that sin uses to sting people in death, he said, is the law. Now, that's any law. You know what law is given for? Law is not for righteous people. Law was to control the rebellious and sinful. Law reveals the sinfulness of man. You go back and read Romans 3, very explicit about the purpose of the law. Anytime you break the law says, don't you do this. Don't you drive over the speed limit of 55. And you drive over the speed limit of 55 and get a ticket, the law said, "Look, it stung you." "Well, I didn't mean to do it." Doesn't matter if you meant to do it or didn't mean to do it. You still broke the law. That's death's sting. And that's sin's sting. And sin uses the law against you. But you and I are in Jesus. And so because I'm found in Jesus, we're going to put on something that is imperishable, and Jesus is going to take it up against death. Yeah, you can't have a victory anymore. There is no sting in you anymore. There is no law anymore. There is nothing perishable about you anymore. You see, we're immortal, and we're going to be raised immortal. And the only thing that's going to matter at the end of our life is this: how is my relationship to Jesus? You want to die in a relationship with Jesus. You don't want to die away from Him. Because there you're going to be given a different body for that life of burning in the consequences. But He's giving us a body that's immortal, that lives in the kingdom of God. Verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Now don't raise your hand, but I want to know how many of us are here because we are thanks be to God for the victory. You're victorious if you're in Jesus. Death doesn't have a say-so anymore. God has every say-so. And we have the victory because of Jesus Christ. And it ought to create within us a gratitude and a thank. I want all of Jesus that I can get. And I want to tell Him how much I thank Him. And I love Him. And I care for Him. Because there is victory in Jesus. And so what does He want from me and you? verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, we talk about being steadfast. Why would anybody ever want to quit Jesus? Why would anybody ever want to be unthankful because of Jesus? Be steadfast. Be immovable. Don't you let anybody take your attention away from Christ Jesus. Don't you let your job, don't you let your daily activities, you be immovable because of the kingdom that you're in. And you don't want to lose it. But then he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, I want to ask a question. Are you abounding in the work of the Lord right now? You say, I'm not sure what that means, Brent. Well, you better find out. You better find out, because He calls us to always be abounding in His work, the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. You get tired sometimes. There's been times I've wanted to quit. I'll just tell you. But you know what? Your toil in the name of Jesus is not in vain. You know why? Because you're going to be resurrected. You're going to be given a body of immortality. And you're going to stay with that body. And it'll never change. It'll never deteriorate. Just like God. Just like Jesus. Just like God, who was there at the very beginning when He created the world. And now we come 6,000 years in the future, and the same God's not even been affected by 6,000 years. And you and I can't even get to 100 without being affected. Immortality is worth it all. Immortality is what He's bringing us to. The resurrection day is about raising an immortal body. And until we get to that point, we want to be found in Jesus. We want to be found steadfast in Jesus. We want to be found immovable in Jesus. We want to be found working, toiling in the work of Jesus our Lord, because that's where everything fits. That ought to make us say, thank you. Thank you. We're looking. We're listening. That trumpet. That voice. And then those who've died in Jesus earlier, they're coming back with Him. And then they're given a new body. You know, think of this as we close this morning. Think of this. What about Abraham? Abraham. I mean, you know what? 4,000 years ago this man died. Where's his body? What about Isaac? Where's Queen Esther? Their bodies over these several thousand years have already wasted away to the dust of the ground. They're not there. But because of Jesus, where are they? They're waiting a new body, and they will return with Jesus. And if you and I are alive, guess what we better expect in the twinkling of an eye? This is going to be changed to immortality. And we're going to always be with the Lord. And that gives us something to long for, to look for, to want to be with. I want to be there. So I better get my proper focus
And I better start going after things that really matter, knowing that's where life is taking me, the life of Jesus. Oh, may God bless us all as we walk. Let's walk to the resurrection day, to where we have that new body. Do you yearn for it? I pray you do.